Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Iran-backed Houthi rebels in Yemen will find attacking Red Sea shipping a little more difficult. The U.S., Britain, and several allies joined in launching fighter jet and cruise missile attacks on more than 60 targets at 16 locations across that country. Former Deputy Defense Secretary Mick Mulroy is an ABC News contributor.
The United States formed a coalition around 20 countries called Prosperity Guardian to do just this. But when it came down to it, it was the U.S. and U.K. that used our substantial naval power to essentially degrade the Houthis' abilities to continue these operations. There's undoubtedly they will, but at least this will make it more difficult.
A New York judge is now weighing how much Donald Trump will have to pay. Closing arguments wrapped up Thursday at his business fraud trial. Maryland's elections board has lost Republican member Carlos Ayala. He resigned following his arrest by the FBI on charges of taking part in the insurrection in 2021. This is ABC News. The case will take years, maybe even decades, to adjudicate, but the International Court of Justice has taken up South Africa's case accusing Israel of genocide over its war in Gaza. U.S. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby.
We believe these allegations, this case, is unfounded and that there's no basis for accusations of genocide against Israel. That's not a word that ought to be thrown around lightly. And we certainly don't believe that it applies here.
President Biden met privately with the sister of Paul Whelan, imprisoned in Russia the last 5 years.
The White House tells me President Biden thought it was important to meet with Paul Whelan's sister Elizabeth and have a conversation at the White House Wednesday. But Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre could not say if there's any progress on a deal with Russia to secure Whelan's release.
This is something that the president takes really seriously.
Jean-Pierre did not have an update on any new U.S. offers to Russia to bring home Whelan or Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich.
ABC's Karen Travers. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggeho. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A task force created last summer is introducing 11 bills to fight human trafficking in Wisconsin. State Representative Jody Emerson is a co-chair of the Assembly Speaker's panel with a message for human trafficking victims.
The crime that you were a victim of does not define your life. It is one short chapter in the story that is you. And I think it is our job to make sure that we have the tools available to get them to a better and whole life.
It's not clear if any of the proposals will pass soon, since the current legislative session ends in a few weeks. More people in Wisconsin are enrolled in Medicare and Medicaid than ever before, more than 250,000 as of December 23rd. That's according to the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. The previous record was reached in 2017. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks blow out the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 135-102 win over the Celtics at Five Serve Forum. It got so bad for Boston, they benched all of their starters in the second half. The Bucks bouncing back after losing to the Jazz. Adrian Griffin.
You know, I thought we learned from the Utah game. You know, you learn from every game. And I know some people think it's like cliche, but the only thing you can do is find ways to get better.
NFL, the Packers headed tomorrow to Dallas to play the Cowboys Sunday at 3:30 in the Wild Card. card game. Jordan Love named NFC Offensive Player of the Week for a second time in a row. The last Packer to do that, receiver Don Beebe in 1996 when they won the Super Bowl. And after 24 years, the New England Patriots looking for a new head coach.
I'll always be a Patriot. I look forward to coming back here. But at this time, we're gonna move on.
That's now former head coach Bill Belichick with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight, lows near the 10-degree mark. Snow begins to develop on Friday, and when the system is all said and done, we see the possibility of 4 to 8 inches of accumulation across the area. We'll also see some blowing snow because of the strong winds. It's 3 at our studios.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Luke Mathers with me on the board and co-hosting with me today. Thank you so much for joining me, Luke. You had quite a drive in this morning.
Yeah, I'm honored to be here.
I'm glad you made it in one piece.
I was going to, you know, Brian Kelly filled in yesterday afternoon.
He did?
And that was very gracious of him. With Greg out of town, I was going to plan to be here in all the days that Greg was not. And Brian, a little bit closer after that Tuesday into Wednesday snow, taking care of keeping you company on the radio yesterday.
Yes.
I was coming in not expecting snow and, you know, woke up to my car covered in it.
I don't think anybody was expecting this.
I saw it last night. I watched the end of the Wisconsin Badgers take care of the Ohio State Buckeyes in basketball. And I looked out the window as I was kind of closing up shop at home and I go, There's snow falling right now.
It's snowing.
I wasn't expecting any snow, but lo and behold, I woke up to probably at least 2 inches on the car, cleared it off, and braved the roads and joined Mr. Pat Kreitlow on Up North News this morning.
Bright and early.
Yes.
Bright and early. Well, I'm glad you made it in. You're going to be with me today, tomorrow, and Monday, and then the funny Greg Bach. We'll be back next Tuesday. Want to remind everybody to utilize this wonderful website. It's 511wi.gov. If you ever want to check on the roadways, it lists all the accidents and what they are and where they are all over the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. So right now, we do have a couple things around the Wisconsin Dells area, the Madison area, and a couple in Milwaukee. But the rest of the state actually is not looking too bad. Some big changes coming in the weather, though. We have a winter storm watch that kicks in tomorrow and goes into Saturday. And then next week is going to get cold.
Yeah. So a lot of snow to finish off this week and then cold, cold temperatures.
Yeah, super cold.
Start of next week. So that Monday, we're going to probably need a little extra hot chocolate or, you know, something to
something.
Keep us warm on
that Monday. We'll see what's in the booze closet. We can have a little warming shot or something.
Your lips to God's ears.
Right. If you ever want to join us, you can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can leave a message there as well. Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here, as she always is, on Thursdays at 11 o'clock for our public cervix announcement. Stay close for that. Right now, though, we're going to start off with speakers got problems.
Really? What kind of problems do speakers have? Like, well, your Bluetooth is just not connecting properly?
Different kind of speaker.
Oh, different kind of speaker. Okay.
Different kind of speaker. Assembly speaker, Robin Voss.
I've heard of him.
Back in the news. Been speaker for 10 years. He's been representing the 63rd Assembly District since 2005. But Matthew Snorick of Burlington yesterday filed paperwork with the Wisconsin Elections Commission, notifying them he wants to circulate a recall petition against Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
Do you think this has anything to do with the similar people that were recalling Tony Evers? Do we just have a rise of, like, recalls here in Wisconsin? Because we famously had the recall of Scott Walker. There was the recall that circulated of Tony Evers. Now, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. There's a lot of recalls going on.
There are a lot of recalls going on. They're basically upset that he didn't support the bogus claim that the 2020 election was stolen.
Oh, so not really, you know, a valid reason, some would say.
It does not seem valid, no. Robin Voss, in a statement, says this recall effort is, quote, a waste of time, resources, and effort. The effort today, no surprise, since the people involved cannot seem to get over any election in which their preferred candidate does not win, unquote. Yeah. What planet is this? I agree with Robin Voss.
What do they say about broken clocks?
Am I running a fever? I'm not sure. I only wish he had come to that realization about this being a waste of time, resources, and effort when it came to, I don't know, giving Michael Gableman $2 million.
We spent a lot of money as a state on trying to find, you know, some reason to say that an election was stolen, even though the only reason they were doing that is because they lost. So that's interesting that the speaker has come around on that issue.
We don't want to be wasteful, apparently.
Not anymore.
Not now. Right.
Not currently.
In his notice to the commission, this Mr. Snorick wrote, Voss is blocking fair elections in Wisconsin. He misled the Wisconsin Assembly in the impeachment of Megan Wolf. Voss said, quote, I will try as hard as I can to make sure Donald Trump is not the nominee in 2024. Voss supported unlawful drop boxes. Wisconsin must move forward without Robin Voss in power.
All right. That's a pretty strong stance to be putting out there, but I can't imagine, like, it's a very interesting dynamic in that assembly district that he represents because he only eked out a primary victory.
Yes.
The last time he was on the ballot. So 2022 now? Jeez, this feels like so long ago.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he only won by a couple hundred votes.
I think it was 266 or something like that.
And so it will be interesting to see what kind of signature support comes to a recall petition like this.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is that in filing this paperwork, now Robin Voss can start fundraising unlimited amounts of money if he's going to face a recall.
Oh, so that was one of those things that people that were upset with the recall of Tony Evers' effort were that Tony got that loophole. So, yeah, I'm sure that there's going to be some people that are upset about that for Robin Voss, but I mean, he's the Assembly Speaker. There's no way that he doesn't already have enough access to campaign funds. So I guess this is just going to be a nice little windfall, or?
Well, yeah, it's just, it gives him an open door to ask for more money.
Huh. Here in Wisconsin, campaign finance laws have been hollowed out, so there's pretty much an open door for that anyway. But it seems like he gets an extra track of it time.
In order to trigger this recall election, they have to gather 25% of the total number of votes for governor in 2022 in that district. So they have to collect 7,000 signatures over the next 2 months, rather.
Okay.
And again, this is what happens when you feed the monster.
Yeah.
He knew there was no fraud. There were 60 plus cases around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Including several Trump judges who found no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
Here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, the conservative, pretty much attack dog, for lack of
the legal arm of the Wisconsin Republican Party.
Right. They will go and they will sue and they will make a lot of noise around any issue that they want to. They did a research into it and found no widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Like, Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty said there's no there. And still.
But yet again, he hired Gableman
mm-hmm.
to go on this pointless search for evidence which did not exist, and that then you fed the monster.
They needed to read Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Exactly.
The monster always comes back to get you.
And you think you can control the monster, and you can't.
You can't.
You just can't.
No, you never know what's going to happen. So it's pretty wild to see that now the tune has changed a little bit for the Assembly Speaker. There is a recall out there for him, and you're right, there is a back door for him to raise as much money as he wants while this is happening.
So isn't that kind of a gift to Robin Voss?
I think he's kind of, maybe he could view it that way, but I don't know. Robin Voss doesn't strike me as the most, like, glass half full kind of person. I don't know if he necessarily always looks at the case as an optimist. I think he seems a little bit pessimistic to me as a person. Maybe I'm reading him wrong, but I have a feeling he finds it more of a headache than
anything else.
Than saying thank you for the backdoor fundraising aspect. I feel like he is a very difficult man to please. That's just my read on the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker.
I just find it interesting, too, that after ostensibly being the most powerful Republican in Wisconsin for easily the last decade, now he's getting a little pushback. It's got to be sending ripples through his universe.
Yeah, I got to imagine that as well. There's no way that he's happy about the way that the Wisconsin Supreme Court has reviewed the case for new redistricting lines as well. So he's got a number of headaches on his hands. This is just a growing one, I think, when it comes to now fighting off a recall petition over the next 2 months.
And Robin Voss has said, too, he's pretty confident that people in his district are fine with him. Well, okay, maybe that's not exactly how he put it. They're fine. It's fine. They're fine with me. It's all good.
People placate me. They accept me. They tolerate me. They're fine with me.
It's fine. And I still wonder, too, and especially once we get more information about what's going to happen with the redrawing of the maps, I think he's just setting himself up so he can slip away into the night and expand his popcorn empire or whatever it is he wants to do.
He has referenced snowbirds quite a few times in recent years.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah, one of the tax proposals that he would like to have here in Wisconsin would implement a retirement grace tax, essentially. So you get tax-free retirement income here in the state of Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
To encourage snowbirds to have their primary residency here. Still here in Wisconsin. And, you know, the fact that he's talked about snowbirds, Dan Schaefer over at the Recombobulation Area, very keen on the fact that how often Voss is talking about them. But it is his reporting that has put it onto me that maybe Robin Voss wants to be a snowbird soon. He's kind of setting things up so that he could retire.
Well, doesn't everyone make a pilgrimage to Florida?
It
sure seems.
I personally don't like.
Well, I agree with you. You couldn't pay me to go to Florida, even for vacation. I wouldn't go to Florida, but that's me.
Yeah.
But it does seem like among a certain set, there is a pilgrimage to be made to Florida once your fortunes change a little bit. Robin Voss, not the only speaker who's got some issues. We will kick that around when we return. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15. With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The Foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair along with you. Luke Mathers is with me on the board this morning. You can always join us at 844-967-2789. Shout out to beautiful La Crosse. I love La Crosse. If you're listening on the Eagle, WLCX. We are coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. And again, you can always call or text or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. We were talking about Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now facing a recall effort. Matthew Snorick of Burlington filing paperwork yesterday trying to recall the speaker because they say he ignored, I don't know, election interference, and he didn't look hard enough to find
no
fraud.
State, and no state tried to find fraud that wasn't there harder than Wisconsin did. Like, yeah, it's
you're right.
Arizona, I guess, maybe if you want to go with the cyber ninja audit, could maybe have gave our state a run for the money. But Michael Gableman was written a blank check to go find it. And he, report deadline after report deadline, submitted nothing. Just nothing. He was grasping at straws. He was interviewing individuals from a retirement home, trying to state the fact that because they couldn't completely remember who helped them vote in the 2020 election, that that was the sign of widespread fraud. And it was disgusting. It was gross to see what Michael Gableman was trying to pull on there. No state, no assembly leader has done more than Robin Voss, but the beast, the monster, wasn't satisfied. And now Robin Voss is facing a recall petition.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see how this shakes out. Again, Matthew Snorick has 2 months to get 7,000 votes. So that seems...
Just signatures. He doesn't even need votes.
Right.
7,000 signatures.
That sounds relatively daunting.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
That's a lot.
He is not the only one who has got problems with his constituency. U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson has been there for all of, 3 months? Mike Johnson has been Speaker of the House for 3 whole months. Now, Representative Chip Roy, a Republican of Texas, warned that a motion to vacate Speaker Johnson is not off the table. I'm leaving it on the table. I'm not going to say I'm going to file it tomorrow. I'm not going to say I'm filing tomorrow. I think the speaker, though, needs to know that we are angry. He needs to know that we need to sit down at the table to try and solve this. So, he is trying to placate the same people that Kevin McCarthy was trying to placate. And apparently they are not placated. They are not happy. We had a couple of texts come in. Andrew from Maine checking in. Good morning, Andrew. So does Mr. Voss now get to spend state funds in order to defend himself? I believe that's why he gets to raise unlimited money, so he can use that for his defense, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't know if those are necessarily state funds. Those are campaign funds that he's given the ability to raise infinite amounts of, but I don't think it's taxpayer dollars that would be defending him here.
No, right. It shouldn't be state funds.
Yeah.
Unlike the $2 million that they shelled out for, no reason. We have Mike from Kenosha is on the line. If you want to join us, 844-967-2789. Good morning, Mike. What did you want to say?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You've had-
as a regular talk show listener over the years, and also as somebody who has paid attention to local elections for a long time, I personally have tried to present forward to certain media groups evidence and testimony from others showing that, whether it be Wisconsin or Arizona and others, were good elections. I had made several attempts to contact some of these right-wing radio stations, trying to present to them an opportunity to talk to people who are professionals that have been into clean elections for decades. They wouldn't even listen to them. They wouldn't interview them for a possible broadcast or to have on. They just weren't interested in sharing any bit of information that was counter to their stolen election narrative. And I think that's kind of borderline criminal. And I wanted to find out from you what you thought of that.
Well, I think it's, and as you said, Mike, it doesn't surprise me at all that they're not going to talk to someone who's not going to continue their narrative, whether or not it's factual or not. I think, tragically, that has become a business model for certain outlets.
I think you nailed it. And if you remember the Cyber Ninjas down in Arizona.
Yes.
Well, back in 2008, I had participated in the Clean Elections group with a gray area election back then. And many of those same members, when Arizona political vote became front and center, we reconvened and formed an Audit Elections USA group. And from there, the Republican Secretary of State at that time, was his name was Ken Bennett, I believe it was. It could be Barrett. And others jumped in, did the deep dive into the research, watched the Cyber Ninjas conduct their sham investigations, and reported back to the people that, hey, indeed, it was a clean election. It was. There's nothing wrong. But again, trying to get the right-wing media groups to pass along what we the people are trying, you know, to bring to light here, that it was a clean election. All those who looked deeply into it said the same thing.
Absolutely.
It was the most secure election in recent history.
Yeah, I mean, again, how the 60 court cases, more than 60 court cases, none of them found widespread election fraud. But like I said, Mike, unfortunately, just look at Fox News. They got fined almost $1 billion for essentially lying to their viewers, and yet people still watch that outlet. Because I knew someone a number of years ago who told me then, I watch Fox because they tell me what I want to hear. And it's tragic, but I think for some, that has become a very successful business model. Thank you so much for being involved in our process like that, Mike. And thank you so much for listening and for calling. You can always check in at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. The news is on the way next. Stay close. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. For now, Red Sea shipping should have an easier time. The U.S. and allies launch fighter jets and cruise missiles in near simultaneous strikes on more than 60 targets in Yemen, from which Iran-backed Houthi rebels have been hitting shipping. At the White House,
President Biden thanking coalition forces led by the U.S. and U.K. for knocking out Houthi missile and drone launch sites across Yemen, saying it sends a clear message. The partners won't tolerate attacks that threaten the world's most critical commercial shipping lanes. President Biden writing that he will not hesitate to take further action to protect Americans and international commerce.
ABC's Andy Field. A grand jury in Warren, Ohio, declined to indict Brittany Watts on criminal charges after she miscarried. The liberal-controlled Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to reconsider its December ruling, ordering the drawing of new legislative maps, which will likely do away with the Republicans' enormous majorities in that state. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu says a plan to create state-run dispensaries for medical marijuana is a non-starter. Assembly Republicans included the dispensaries in their medical marijuana bill released Monday. LeMahieu says it goes against his goal of shrinking state government. He says that he still sees good things in the bill and that a compromise can still be reached. A new report shows that 25 S&P 500 firms with the highest-paid CEOs perform worse than average. Rosanna Landis Weaver is a shareholder advocate.
We look at a period of history when America was a leader in creating solid middle-class jobs, but also industry growth. Companies plowed back any excess money into the company.
Shareholders can vote against CEO pay packages, and some companies have changed their practices. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Cloudy skies in the overnight, lows near the 10-degree mark. Snow begins to develop on Friday, and when the system is all said and done, we see the possibility of 4 to 8 inches of accumulation across the area. We'll also see some blowing snow because of the strong winds. It's 3 at our studios.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This message is for Shauna, my mom, who just finished her high school diploma. I wanted to say I'm so proud of you for finishing school. You taught me it's never too late to achieve your dreams. I hope to make you as proud as you have made me.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm ever up a
society. God's gift to ballroom notoriety. And I always fill my ballroom, the event is never small. The social pages say I've got the biggest balls of all. I've got big balls, I've got big balls, and there's such big balls, and there's such big balls, and he's got big balls.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matineer on Air. Jane Matineer, Luke Mathers is with me, coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. One of the bonuses of watching the live stream, Luke Mathers, on days like yesterday when we had Magoo, the umbrella cockatoo, in studio, the spontaneous chair dancing that occasionally breaks out on the show. And you can also hear our conversations that happen off the air when Luke and I are trying to communicate with each other. So a couple of people.
A little behind the scenes.
Listening. Sue checking in says, we can hear you guys. And Jeff says, it's kind of fun to hear what goes on when you guys are on break. I don't think I swore. Did I swear?
No.
Okay, good.
No, we were all good. It was clean. Okay. We're having a ball here. We're having some fun.
We're having some fun.
And AC/DC letting us know.
That song is setting up our next topic because we were talking about Speaker Mike Johnson is in trouble. They're already kind of threatening that they're going to do what same thing they did to McCarthy, Kevin McCarthy, and motion to vacate.
Former Speaker Kevin McCarthy. Let's have all the reverence, please, for Kevin.
Let's make sure it's accurate.
Yes. Former, sure,
former Speaker of the House, Kevin McCarthy. Yeah. And Mike Johnson might not be far behind him. He's only been in the job for 3 whole months.
It's only been 3 months?
It's been 3 months.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you saw what happened in this House committee hearing yesterday, the House Oversight Committee, it was lunacy. It was Republicans in disarray,
Yeah. They're having a hard time, what's the word? Governing.
Getting things done.
Yeah.
Actually, for like, people.
Yeah. Winning elections, that's relatively easy. I'm not going to say easy, but in the scheme of things, easy.
Mm-hmm.
Governing, that's hard.
Actually doing things.
Yeah. Getting things done.
As opposed to these performative things.
Everybody knows. Everybody's got it's New Year, 2024. Everybody's got a checklist that they want to get done to kick off the new year. Funding the government is one of those things, you know, on the checklist for the government to do here in January and in February. And seemingly, I don't know if it's going to get done. I don't know if it's going to get marked off the checklist.
Yeah, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks because these deadlines are coming up pretty quickly. So anyway, this House Oversight Committee hearing yesterday was all about Hunter Biden. And Hunter Biden showed up.
Surprisingly, I think he caught a lot of people off guard.
He caught a lot of people off guard. Hunter Biden, along with his attorneys, unexpectedly showed up at the hearing where they were considering a resolution that, if passed, would set up a full House vote on whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress for defying a congressional subpoena as part of the House impeachment inquiry against his father. So Hunter Biden shows up. He's sitting in the galley, you know, with all the other spectators. And there were some Republicans who did not take well to his showing up there.
No, because, well, he was defying a subpoena, Jane. He was there, but he wouldn't meet with them in closed doors.
Yes.
He was there in the public committee saying, I'm here.
And that's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
Originally, James Comer, who was handling this, is watching this mess, presiding over this mess, over the mess. James Comer initially told Hunter Biden, you can come and, you know, testify in public, testify behind closed doors. And Hunter Biden said, great, I'll do it in public. And they were like, no, wait a minute.
Hang on. We rescind that invitation. We only want behind closed doors.
Exactly. And why would they only want testimony behind closed doors?
Because if nobody knows, if you're off in the room where it happened, as Hamilton likes to refer to it, then anybody that's in that can spin it any way they want, but it's very hard to spin what the actual, if it's on camera, nationally televised,
right,
broadcast, it's a lot harder to spin that.
Can't control the narrative quite as easily.
No.
When there's like an actual transcript of the words that were said.
Right.
Among the most outraged at Hunter Biden's appearance yesterday during the House Oversight Committee hearing was Republican Nancy Mace. I think we should take a listen.
Yeah, let's give it a little.
Okay.
You are the epitome of white privilege, coming into the Oversight Committee, spitting in our face, ignoring a congressional subpoena to be deposed. What are you afraid of? You have no balls to come up here and...
Mr. Chairman, point of inquiry.
Mr. Chairman...
If the gentle lady wants to hear from Hunter Biden, we can hear from him right now, Mr. Chairman. Let's take a vote and hear from Hunter Biden.
That was Nancy Mace and then Jared Moskowitz offering up Hunter Biden, who's sitting right there. Let's take a vote and put him on the stand. He can testify right now.
Yeah.
No.
But we want sworn secrecy behind the closed door.
Behind the closed doors where we can just talk to you alone under a hot light. What jumped out at me with that Nancy Mace thing was, you have no balls. I want to clarify this. We know he has them because Marjorie Taylor Greene showed blown up photographs of Hunter Biden's genitals in a House committee hearing.
See,
so I've
yet to see them because I don't need to see that evidence. Well, so I haven't looked, but I know that it's out there in the public domain
this
now.
This actually happened.
Yeah.
So just on a point of order, Nancy Mace, I think you should apologize because we know he has them.
Yes. And he showed up.
And he showed up.
He was also there. So like because the metaphor is he's too much
of
a coward to come and
right,
talk with us. And he's sitting in the audience while this happens.
Ready to take the stand.
Ready to go.
Ready to take the stand. Jared Moskowitz, who is a Democrat, I believe, from New York or Florida. I think he's from Florida.
I know that he's a Democratic member of the House. I do not know which state he resides in.
But he was taking a lot of issue with Nancy Mace and their refusal to listen to Hunter Biden. So here's a short clip from Jared Moskowitz.
The witness accepted the chairman's invitation. It just so happens the witness is here. If the committee wants to hear from the witness and the chairman gave the witness that option, then the only folks that are afraid to hear from the witness with the American people watching are my friends on the other side of the aisle. I don't know if there's a proper motion, Mr. Chairman, but I'll make a motion. Let's vote. Let's take a vote. Who wants to hear from Hunter right now, today? Anyone? Come on. Who wants to hear from Hunter? No one.
He's feisty.
He usually comes with the receipts. Like he's been a very, very feisty is a good word.
Yes.
He's
feisty. So again, I don't know how they can claim that Hunter Biden is a coward and is refusing to testify when he's sitting in the courtroom. And let's not forget, and Moskowitz put this in the record yesterday, of all of the subpoenas that Republicans received, including Jim Jordan and a number of others who have never complied with those subpoenas. So apparently, rules for thee, but not for me.
Yes, that's a very strong mantra that at least the Republican elected officials in the U.S. House of Representatives seem to be living by.
Yeah. The other big news, is it big? It's certainly news. Chris Christie announcing last night in New Hampshire, that was not a slam at his weight. I didn't even think about that.
I understand that, but it was like, my first thought was, wait, where are we going here? And then you mentioned it, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of, like, it's news, but it's not, you're right, it's not huge news.
It's not huge news because Chris Christie didn't really have a pathway to the White House. He's running so far behind.
Well, not even is he running so far behind in the polls. Like, his unfavorable numbers in the Republican primary were, like, right up there with Mike Pence.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, Chris Christie, among Republican primary voters, was, if not the least, like, the second least favorable presidential candidate for this cycle among Republicans. So, I mean, not a huge shock that he is suspending his campaign. It's always interesting when you see it at, like, a event, like, New Hampshire votes in, less than 2 weeks now?
I think so, yeah.
2 weeks from this past Tuesday. And it was at a New Hampshire town hall. And I'm always curious to know if people are aware that that's going to be the announcement when that was announced. Like, do you float that? Do you let people know? Or is that kind of just come to a shock? Because were all the people in attendance in New Hampshire shocked? Like, I'm not saying it's a large crowd, obviously. Again,
right.
Numbers were relatively low.
Pretty low.
But if you're going there to support Chris Christie and then he announced that he's suspending his campaign, that's got to be pretty...
Right?
Yeah, that's not a fun event to attend.
The one thing he said in his speech, and I really encourage everyone to watch Chris Christie's speech last night. It's about 28 minutes. It's a little long.
It is a long speech.
But one thing he said that I think is really important is he said, quote, "I would rather lose by telling the truth than lie in order to win," unquote. And to what Mike was saying, who just called.
Mike from Kenosha
talking about people reject what does not align with their opinion, mm-hmm. not facts, but what does not align with their opinion. And I do give Christie credit for saying that. Not that it would have helped him. He probably could have lied this entire time, and that wasn't going to help him very much either.
It was the truth telling. That's probably in part.
He says he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that Donald Trump is not reelected. What that means remains to be seen.
I mean, he called him Donald Duck. That was the debate, right?
Oh, ow.
Ouch. If Chris Christie wanted to make news, because he could. He could make news by coming out and saying, I'm suspending my Republican primary campaign for president, and I endorse Joe Biden.
That would make news.
That would be newsworthy.
Yes.
I don't know if he's going to do that. He's said a lot of things against the former president, Donald Trump, in his bid for the White House. But I don't know if Chris Christie is going to go that far. It will be something to keep an eye on throughout this 2024 cycle.
Well, and I just wonder if he's not going to end up flip-flopping because, who is it, John Sununu, who's a...
Chris Sununu.
A Republican governor...
Of New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm. And he has spoken out against Donald Trump. And now just last night he said, well, even if he's convicted of felonies, I'll vote for him.
Oh, jeez. Well, that's one way to share that you have character. Integrity?
Sure. Might be a different definition of integrity. Speaking of definitions,
That was incredible.
What a segue.
That was, yeah, we couldn't even buy that if we wanted to.
I couldn't have planned that, quite honestly. When we return, they want to ban what book now? Honestly. This is genuinely a thing. Where is it happening? Oh, shocker, it's in Florida.
Florida wants to ban what? We're gonna dive into it.
It's a special book.
It's a very special book. Very often used book.
And used as a resource, some would say.
I was told time and time again growing up to reference it.
And use that book?
Yeah, to use that book.
Your parents were child abusers.
It's very helpful, though. Some could argue. Some would say it's very detrimental. But it is a pretty commonplace book.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous book. All the details on the way. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've got big balls. I've got big balls. And they're such big balls. And they're sassy big balls. And he's got big balls. And she's got big balls. They're the balls that I like best. My balls are always bouncing to the left and to the right. It's my belief that my big balls should be held every night.
Oh, we've got big balls. We've got big balls. We've got big balls. And we've got big balls. He's got big balls. She's got big balls.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Her name is Pam Yonke.
but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Jahnke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Jahnke on The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM in Hayward.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. This is The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow.
Thank you so much for joining us. Matt Nair on air, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha, all across the state on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can always join us. You can call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Yeah, book banning, very popular thing these days, Luke Manners.
Sadly.
Yes, tragically. Now, the Escambia County School District in the Florida Panhandle has removed several dictionaries.
What?
Removed several dictionaries from libraries because they're concerned these dictionaries could violate Florida law.
Wow. So it's not necessarily that the libraries want to remove it. It's that they fear.
They're afraid.
They're afraid of retribution for having it in their library because of what is state law in Florida now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrap your head around that. The Merriam-Webster Elementary Dictionary, now among more than 2,800 books.
Oh my gosh.
That have been pulled from Escambia County school libraries and put into storage. This law that DeSantis signed in May of last year gives people the right to demand the removal of any library book that depicts or describes sexual content. So as a result of that, most of the libraries were shut at the beginning of the school year so they could go and review these things. 2,800 books eventually removed from libraries. They are being reviewed again, but this Merriam-Webster dictionary that they're concerned about, it defines sex as a sexual union involving penetration of the vagina by the penis. They can't say that.
That's the most classical version of sex, and that can't even be included in...
It's going to pollute our children's brains. So now definitions are dangerous.
Literally a reference book that is growing up. Time and time again, you ask what a word is and you don't know what it is, you go look it up.
You go look it up.
You go look it up.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times my parents told me, go grab the dictionary if you don't know what that word is.
Your parents must have known my parents.
Yeah.
Because absolutely, go look it up. I'm not going to tell you.
Right. And so a dictionary is not dangerous in the sense of having, like, it is more dangerous if it's on the top shelf and it accidentally falls on your child than being considered dangerous for this reason.
Yeah. Sherry checking in on a live stream. Unbelievable. They are targeting dictionaries. Yes, Sherry. It is mind-blowing. 844-967-2789. Just to reiterate, in Florida, the Escambia County School District has removed the Merriam-Webster for elementary school students because definitions are dangerous. We have David from San Francisco is on the line. Good morning, David. Thank you so much for joining us. What did you want to say?
Hey, morning. I was interested in some of the legal strategies, but as you're talking about those dictionaries, I'm a baby boomer, so I remember when they were trying to pull the dictionaries back, in the 70s and 80s, and the Webster's dictionaries, and I think you said it's the Merriam-Webster's, Webster was considered like a stodgy old fart, and so his dictionaries were the ones that the churches used in the And so for a Webster's dictionary to be yanked is kind of ironic, because the John Birchers that were trying to yank the dictionaries in the old days were trying to yank the American Heritage Dictionary, which was much more comprehensive and useful. Yeah, there were tens of thousands of words that Webster's would never publish. But as I heard you talking about the legal strategies, I keep hearkening back to the issue that Donald Trump is organized crime, and the legal strategy that he has to use has to serve organized crime. And it's not just the bomb threats, but it's the idea that he has ultimate power. The idea that that anybody that opposes him has to be crushed. And so to develop a legal strategy that has the authorization of the U.S. government to crush opposition, to authorize murder, to give immunity from prosecution, it's pure organized crime. And the idea that that big business, in the old days, you could at least count on a businessman to oppose something like that, because they knew that they didn't want to be murdered by their competitors. But when you start reading some of the books about the rise of organized crime, J. Edgar Hoover discovered that Meyer Lansky and the money launderers of organized crime from the 30s, 40s, 50s.
David, we're just up against the clock here. Thank you so much for calling. And I think David makes a really interesting point as far as this legal strategy by Donald Trump's lawyers, essentially saying that he's not guilty of anything. You can't convict him ever of anything. If you want to use that argument and go with that, then doesn't that subsequently mean that Joe Biden could have Donald Trump executed while he's in office, and then you can't touch him because he has complete immunity? Isn't that how that argument goes?
Well, no. So again, back to earlier in the hour, rules for thee, not for me. So they want individuals to comply with subpoenas when they issue them, but they don't want subpoenas to apply to them. They want complete and utter immunity, but they want to be able to... they don't want their political opponents to have that.
No.
So,
well, and just a closing shot, protect your children. Keep them away from those dangerous definitions, dangerous dictionaries.
Very,
very. Never thought I would be saying dangerous dictionaries.
Right?
When we return after the news, it's time for our public service announcement with the one and only Dr. Kristen Lierley. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book. A reading rainbow.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard.